You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Oh, you want more?
More.
Oh, this good?
More.
Oh, wow, that was extreme.
More. Edging with Tucker and Maura.
Hardest job in the world, trying to caption the lyrics from a Radiohead song. Like, if you didn't have them in front of you, how could you possibly understand half of what Thom Yorke sings?
I'm a fish out of water, he just said. Okay. You just gotta not try so hard. Okay, that I didn't
know. Yeah, follow the gine of the ecstasy, I don't know. Like,
I heard vagina, I don't know.
Did you? I heard gine.
I feel open.
No, I fell open. I said I laid under. At the tip out. That was just your number. Yeah, it's tough.
What a great song.
It's not a bad song. It's funny that this is one that jumps out to you.
Oh my gosh. I actually love this whole album. What is it, King of Limbs or something? Yeah. Oh my God, I listen to this all the time. It's just a vibe. It's a mood.
Yeah, Radiohead's good at mood.
Mm-hmm.
One of our listeners of our radio show is like the biggest Radiohead fan that I've ever met. He's got tattoos of just about every album they put out.
Really? What's his favorite album? I'd be so curious, because they're all so different.
Never asked him that, but he did get to show a lot of his artwork to Thom Yorke.
Really?
Like, Thom Yorke was probably like, oh, cool.
Yeah, he's probably like, oh, gosh.
No, I mean, I'm sure it's a real compliment when somebody
has stuff tattooed
on
their
body.
It's
cool, tattoos, because some of the artwork from Radiohead albums is pretty cool.
Yes.
But yeah, he's the biggest fan I know. Like, his whole body's done in tattoos, and I'd say I think almost all of it's dedicated to Radiohead. It's not like it's just one part of... Yeah. Welcome to another podcast.
Another podcast. I'm surprised, actually, being on the edge now, that we don't play more Radiohead, like Songs from In Rainbows and this album and... I know we go back with radio. We go to Creep.
Yeah, the Ben's album.
Dry,
yeah,
yeah. Karma Police.
All those, Karma Police,
Karma Police is a different album, but a lot of it's early days stuff.
Early day stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like I like Coldplay's old stuff, but it seems like the only stuff that gets played on the radio these days is all the newer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
La Vida Loca, blah blah blah.
La Vida Loca.
I like. Whatever.
Wait, what is it?
It's Ricky Martin, bro.
What's the La Vida song?
It's just La Vida.
It's Viva.
Viva La Vida.
Yeah, thank you. Whatever. It's all the same.
Ricky Martin song.
I like Scientist. I like Amsterdam. I like so many, you know, early songs. But that's fine.
It's hard.
I'm happy not to hear it on the radio, because then when I hear it, when I play it, I enjoy it more.
I hear you
that way.
Mm-hmm.
Although the station we work on, which is called 102.1 The Edge, they do play The Scientist, I think, every now and then.
Mm.
I have heard it.
I heard Yellow, too.
Yeah, they have a radio single, though. Yeah, it's fine. Mm. And to me, Yellow is like them playing Creep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Creep is so good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like hearing Creep. Yeah. I love it.
Kind of over it.
Really?
Yeah.
High and Dry is still my favorite. It'll always be my favorite. And I love it even more that... There's a backstory for you crying at a bar over it.
Yeah, totally.
That song will never die. Yeah, there's some songs that will just be classic forever.
But every time Bunnis hears that song now, he thinks of how I was like heartbroken in a bar listening to High and Dry and had to like remove myself because it was just too...
It was too emotional.
It's too heavy.
The song took you to the from like probably a 50 to 100, right?
Yeah.
You just got dumped right there, right? Like, and then that song started playing?
I wasn't dumped. We had broken up and then I was wondering if there was going to be a second chance because I had relocated and our dumping was... Our breakup was more about logistics.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were close enough to put it back together and she had moved on. You know, like most people.
Oh, yes.
It seems to be like a woman thing. And once they just shut you off that way, that's kind of it. It's
done.
Over.
Yeah, we're done.
So I guess I thought I was going to pitch, you know, a new idea. And then it wasn't going the way
I
thought.
Did you bring the PowerPoint presentation?
I did. I created a whole deck. I'm trying to think of like if I have a favorite Radiohead song. I don't really have a favorite.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I would say the one that I listened to the most in the last like handful of years is this one right here.
Yeah, it's amazing.
This song. Trapped in your heart. God, is this... No, this song isn't that old, is it? Holy crap. 2007?
In Rainbows.
Yeah, I can't believe it's that
album.
Old.
Track number three.
I mean, I saw the show for this tour.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe that's... How many years ago is that? 16 years?
Jesus.
16 years?
Feels like yesterday. Matt. Hey, Matt's obsessed with this video, my husband. Have you seen
this? I've never seen the video to this.
It's just a bunch of people's faces. And then slowly, as the song gets more intense, they start crying.
Wow.
All these different people.
I like the glockenspiel in this.
Oh.
You're in it? Mm. A little...
See, for me, on this album, it's House of Cards. Was that track five? That's the one I always go skip, skip.
Track eight.
Track eight. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you would skip over the song that comes before this, though.
No matter how it ends, no matter how it starts, I just want to be your lover. Yes.
He could kind of say anything and it wouldn't matter as long as he sings it in that Tom York Radiohead way. This was such a great album, which is rare for a band that's been around that long to put out these great albums that still like engage you, because that's certainly not the case with Coldplay.
Yes.
I'm trying to think if I even went through the latest Coldplay album like track by track. I usually try to just to see if they did the Scientist Part 2, and it never seems to be the way. This is the song. Come on. Right here? This is right before that song.
Yeah, I would usually skip this one. It's great, though. It's great.
I'm going to say I like this as much as All I Need, maybe.
Really? Yeah.
Sounds like there's some tambourine in this, maybe? What is that?
That's a ride. And that's a tambourine on the left ear.
Yeah. Little tambourine, then somebody's like,
"Are they still making music?"
Yeah. I think he did some solo stuff too, but there's still a thing.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, here's a little Radiohead rabbit
little
hole.
Little Radiohead rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, on the show, our radio show, we were talking about an interesting stat, which I still don't know if I believe it. And it was asking a whole bunch of people that cheated on their significant other if you feel guilty about it. And a strong majority of people said, nah, not really.
Yeah. No regrets.
No regrets.
But the people they spoke to turned to Ashley Madison, which is a website for people who are married who want to cheat. So to me, that's like next level cheater. Like they're 100% committed. They're committed to cheating. You know what I mean? But they say that these people that they spoke to, they asked them, you know, are you happy in your marriage? And they said, yeah, like I love my spouse. But they were just going to Ashley Madison for the sex. That's why they wanted it. There was some sort of hole in the marriage as far as sex is concerned. They were missing something.
Well, it's monogamy is a challenge, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Even with the person you love the most, sometimes you just want to like try something else with somebody else.
Yeah, that's when a lot of people cheat, right? When
I get the why you cheat. Just the lack of guilt. Like,
oh my God.
Unless you had an arrangement, like I would have to say to Deb, if she somehow like shut me down that way indefinitely, I'd have to be like, look, I don't know if we're going to break up, but I'm definitely going to be looking for something elsewhere, just so you know. If you have like some situation where you've basically announced your intention to cheat or you've been granted permission to cheat because they're not interested in sex anymore. And it happens. Some people just lose interest. They become asexual, right?
Yeah. And we got a text from a guy who said his wife went through a phase like 15 years ago where she just didn't want to have any sex. And that's when he started cheating on her. They're still together and they've went through, you know, they dealt with what the issue was. They always looked at why, and they weren't having any sex in that moment. And that's why he strayed, you know?
That's probably the justification right there why people don't feel guilty, right? Because it's like when you get married, you're kind of agreeing to a contract with each other that like each person will fulfill X kind of roles within this relationship.
Yeah, people get sick.
Sure.
People have babies and all of a sudden your breasts. I remember realizing that my breasts had the real purpose was something else. But now I've come to appreciate
Thank God,
the other purpose, you know?
Sure.
Like you just realize your body is being used for something else, you know?
I get that. I'm just saying.
Is that weird?
That's
like my breast's higher purpose was feeding my daughter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's also.
So they almost became asexual in that moment. During that time. Yeah. I mean, they were lovely.
I felt that way about my penis after I had impregnated Deb. I was like, well, I think now that I realize its true purpose, it's done now because I'm done having kids.
Don't need it. Let's just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Well, this is why they're there. They're there to nurture a child.
Yeah, but a penis is there to make a baby and to keep humanity going. But if you look at it that way, then that's a really...
Yeah.
There's much more fun to be had with it doing like everything else than its intended purpose.
You can have an orgasm, right? And like the whole purpose of that is for you to have pleasure, right? You don't need to have an orgasm in order to have a baby. Like you could just do the act and you could remove the biological feeling or the chemistry feeling of the orgasm if it was just all functional. Mm-hmm. There is pleasure involved in that.
Actually, you know, after I kind of got out of that phase, and what a whirlwind that is to go through that with your body, by the way. But after like years later, I realized, right, there is a secondary role these breasts play, and I do get pleasure from them, you know? It is a pleasure spot for me.
So what you're saying is there was a point in time where you weren't feeling overly sexual.
Yeah, but you're exhausted. I don't think I was like, don't touch me, but I felt like there was a different purpose for my body at the time, or like my sex organs, if you'll call it that.
And I get that. And I think to a certain degree, you should be allowed a little bit of, leeway in terms of time. But I think most people that are in this study that are saying like, I don't feel guilty for cheating are probably going through long spells.
Huge dry spells. Yes. I got a buddy who didn't have sex for like 6 years with his partner. They were married, but they were together, living together, and they were roommates by the end. And then even if she didn't want to have sex at all, no interest.
Wow.
Every now and then she'd offer up like a hand job or something. and then let's just say like she did it with, you know, as though it was a job.
While reading a book, you know.
Yeah, and he's like, the guy's like, forget it. Don't even bother. Yeah. Like, I'd rather just, you know, watch porn or something. And then eventually he left her.
Yeah.
But I don't think he cheated on her, which is interesting because that would have been a way potentially for that, you know, that relationship to continue.
Did they
maybe
have kids?
No kids.
Oh.
But I mean, tough situation to be in with someone that you love and that you care for, but like that whole side of your relationship's dead. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if he did cheat, I'm sure I don't know if he would have felt guilt. I mean, I wouldn't if I were him in that situation, but also I wouldn't put myself in that situation without my wife knowing that, you know, that I need to have that part of my life
active. You bring
active,
it up, yeah.
Be like, if you don't want to do it. And there's lots of reasons why. It could be like physiological. It could be mental. It could be you're on drugs for some reason. It just sucks the libido out of you.
Sure.
Maybe it's time. Maybe it's, you know, you got like 5 kids that are making you insane and you just never feel like.
I'll tell you, when I was pregnant, I was so horny. which is interesting as they talk about like this, the purpose of like the sex organs having a new meaning. Was Deb that way when she was pregnant?
I mean, around me, it's hard not to be all the time. Yeah, I mean, sure. It's not specifically one time.
I wanted it all the time. Isn't that crazy?
No, because I mean, like, it's just the way your hormones are, which are going a million miles an hour, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, like, we definitely were hooking up when Deb was pregnant. And then certainly they'd recommend that at the end when you want to try and induce pregnancy.
It's a good move, yeah.
Or, sorry, induce delivery.
Yes.
Well, I already induced pregnancy.
Yeah, to get things moving along, yeah.
Yeah.
It like can be good for the female to have an orgasm because that contraction of the muscles, like, gets things fired up.
Because it was crazy. When we went in for induction for our first kid, they wanted to induce Deb.
How late was she?
She was like a little bit late, but the baby was getting bigger and, you know, they're just like, you know, let's get this thing going.
Mm.
And we went in and they put the, I think it's called Cervidil, some sort of drug.
Yeah,
they
inside.
They put it on to try and stimulate the, what do you call it? The cervix. To dilate.
Cervidil, yeah.
To dilate. They're trying to get it going.
Yeah.
And then we went back after the allotted time they gave us. I can't remember if it was 12 or 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, all right, we're going in to have a baby. And we went in and they do the exam. Man, that exam's insane, eh? Like they go right in there to feel how dilated you are.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have it.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Because the midwife came and the baby's head was there. So it was.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I was done.
Oof. Anyway, and then they're like, get out of here. You guys, nothing's happening today.
Nothing's happening.
In the morning, they're like, nothing's happening. You're not even close to being dilated. We're not gonna do it.
Yeah.
And then we went, you know, home, and then we went for a walk that day, and then I was making dinner, and her water broke. And then they, like, things started to happen naturally.
That's crazy.
At the same time.
If you could imagine the feeling of a balloon popping inside of you, a water balloon, that's literally what it feels like.
Well, the thing was is that you don't realize is that it comes in waves too. Like your water breaks, so you kind of like essentially pee your pants. It's not pee; it's just the amniotic fluid leaks out, and then you think you're kind of done, and you change, and then you move a different way, and then more comes out.
Oh,
and then, but because I remember when I dropped Deb off at the doors, I was gonna go park the car.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was standing there, and then a whole bunch more water came out, and then she basically looked like, you know.
Oh,
she'd peed her pants or her skirt.
Please.
It didn't matter. We were going in to have a baby, but I think she was just sort of like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Just won't stop coming out.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
I remember the midwife coming in when I was, in labor, and she put her hand on my head, and I remember being like, oh, like it was so sweet in that moment, like so caring. And then she said something like, in like a little bit of a baby voice, like, Did you poo yourself? And I remember being like,
pardon?
Which, by the way, I hadn't. But if I was in the shower, right? So yeah, I think she is. Part of the reason I went in the shower and laid down was because I thought if anything happens, because there's so much pressure, you feel like every time you're having a contraction, you're going to pee a little bit.
Okay.
So I just thought, I'm going to lay down in the shower so anything that comes out could come out and I'll just stay here. It's perfect. And so she was like, did you poop? Did you go poo-poo?
Somebody have a little poopy?
I remember being like, fuck off. And I loved her, but she had that was the wrong vibe.
It's funny because I know like you wanted to do it. Originally it wasn't going to be in your home. You were going to do it in a place, right?
I was like, prepared for three scenarios.
What was the other outside of your house location?
The birth center.
Oh, birth center.
So the Toronto birth center does not there's no drugs there. There's like one of those machines you had for your back, Bundus, like a TENS machine or something.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then there's also like some laughing gas that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
Then they also have an ambulance that can take you to the hospital if things aren't progressing.
Go sideways.
Yeah. There's only three rooms there though.
Yeah.
So if you don't get a room there, then you could also go to the hospital. I was registered at the hospital too, but I was kind of told beforehand because I went and sat down with the anesthesiologist that the likelihood of an epidural working on my back with the scoliosis was very low.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, because they got to get it in just right, and then they have to change the... I remember when Deb first got her epidural, it was working on one side of her body,
exactly.
And they got to like move it around a bit. It was a tense moment, like seeing that whole process.
Yeah, I don't need to... That really freaked me out, and him saying, he's like, I don't think it would work. He said, I'd try it 3 times, and then I'd give you the fentanyl pump, and then we need somebody standing there with a respirator for the delivery. And I'm like, fuck.
Anyway, all that to say is that, like, you know, we went to the hospital for our delivery, and not once did the nurse say, oh, did you have a little boobie? You know, you got a little boobie here. Funny that, you know, you'd think that if anywhere they'd be saying that would maybe be at the hospital, and that at home they'd be less concerned about it because it's all so natural and stuff. But meanwhile, she'd bring it up.
I had not pooed, by the way. It was just like...
You sure, though?
Sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No, she's like, actually, sure? The cleanup was insanely not like, just like the fact that you're in the shower, I thought this is perfect for cleanup, but because they clean it up, but there was nothing there. She said there was like nothing, just like,
I can't imagine. I saw a picture of Maura in the shower. It was insane. It's not like a massive fits 5 people shower. It's a shower for one, maybe you could get 2 people in there.
Oh, it was a good size shower.
It's a square shape.
It's a square.
It's a square.
Yeah,
it's a square shape with like this river stone tile on the floor. Super uncomfortable. Were you lying on a blanket at least?
I was leaning up against the glass because I just got like a glass panel installed there and I had a pillow. I told Matt, like, go grab some pillows. I didn't care. Like, well, just, they were not nice pillows. So
Did you throw them out?
Threw some pillows in there. Yeah, but nothing was like bad. There was no big cleanup. But the kit that they tell you to have prepared when you have the home birth is hilarious. It's like shower curtain, because they want you to put a shower curtain down on your bed.
Oh, yeah, because otherwise, your mattress is gone.
So. Yeah, it's like shower curtain, olive oil, because they use the olive oil to like lube up your vagina.
Okay.
So the baby comes out. Mm. And salt, a cup of salt, because they'll throw your clothes in the wash after or any sheets, and the salt removes blood stains. Yeah. And I still have a towel. Like, I had a white towel. Someone tossed a white towel, and that was what Harvest had, and it still got a little blood on it, but I don't get rid of it because I'm like, oh, that was like a moment.
So if I come over and take a shower, do I get blood towel? Or is that in a special memory
spot?
That's
like a special. No, I wouldn't leave that for a guest. I get the blood towel once in a while.
The towel. You guys know that story. I'm sure I've told you.
What towel?
About a guy I used to be friends with, and he had a special towel he'd leave under the counter in his bathroom.
For what?
It was like a splew drag.
Oh, that's gross.
And then, but what was gross was that when his friend crashed at his place, and my friend came back from like being out and then saw that towel draped over the railing of like the shower, he found it under the counter and used it. Yeah.
What?
Insane. Yeah. What? True story.
He took a shower and he used the splew drag.
That's insane. Wait, did he tell him?
No, he didn't say anything. He was like, oh my God, that's a towel.
That's disgusting.
I know. That's
I wish my
story.
Birthing towel was also there for that guy.
Well, that's what made me think of it. Is that like you got this towel, your baby. Baby was born into, and you still have it in the lineup, you know?
It's in the lineup.
So are you saying to this day your friend doesn't know that he used the splew drag?
It's a friend of a friend. It was like a guy I worked with.
And he still doesn't know?
I don't know. Honestly, the day I heard that story, he hadn't told him because he felt too bad about it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like if...
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That's disturbing, disturbing.
You can see how it would happen, though, right? Especially when you're just, like, in that early stage of living on your own. And people just, like, there's no such thing as Kleenex. You just use toilet paper for everything.
Yeah, and somebody crashes after the bar.
Nobody has, they have one towel.
Yeah.
And it's their towel, and if you want to use somebody else's towel, and you find one under the sink, you're like, I guess I'll use that.
Okay, but like, I don't get this because maybe I'm just weird, but I have never once in my life used a splew drag.
Like, well, he didn't know it was a splew drag. Who knows how many.
Was he jerking off in front of the mirror or something?
Yeah, like,
just
that's
in
what
the
I'm
bathroom.
Saying.
I don't know. I don't know, but I didn't dive too deep about like, oh, why did you keep the towel in your bathroom and not your bedroom? Because the bathroom has a door lock and the bedroom probably didn't. And maybe he was worried that Like, wait, maybe he's sensitive to jerking, and he wanted to make sure that there was a lock.
Okay, wouldn't you just jerk right off into the tub then and just rinse it down after?
Yeah, that, into the sink.
Or some toilet paper, or the sink, whatever. Like, that's what I'm trying to ask you. He's like, have you ever used a sock or like a towel that you like kept under your bed?
Hey, I know you're making sense to me right now. It wasn't my towel. I don't know all the details.
That's insane.
When someone tells you they store their splooge rag under the counter in the bathroom, I was fine with that. I just took that as...
end of the world scenario. You have to use the splooge rag. Yeah. Is it spooge?
Splooge.
Splooge rag.
It's not spooge.
After a shower, or you have to use my birth towel after a shower.
I'm going birth towel.
Okay, hang on. So
wait, what size of towel is a splooge rag? Is it a hand towel?
You didn't ask. I didn't ask.
It's just like a face full towel.
It could have been like a hand towel size for all we know. And the guy just figured, you know, like how professional divers, when they finish a dive, they have that little towel.
Little hand towel.
Yeah, they just chamois themselves off. So maybe it was small enough that it was just big enough for him to chamois his body off. I don't know.
Do you know how much splooge must have been soaked into that thing? And this guy's like wiping his armpits and his face down with it.
I don't know how freshly. I'm sure the guy cleaned it every now and then.
Yeah.
So maybe it was fresher. Maybe there's later in the month it would have been worse. I don't know. Again, I didn't ask.
You would go birth towel as well.
But
end of the world.
I'm asking, had they been washed first?
Well, let's say they were both washed.
Both washed. One I knew was the primary use was as a splooge rag. The other was what your baby was born into, and there's still like stains on it.
And
from
there's
that.
Still stains.
But it's been washed.
They've both been washed. It's the end of the world. These are the only two towels left.
Definitely birth rag. Definitely.
I'm
birth
going
rag.
Birth
it's
rag.
It's not a rag.
Too.
It's a full towel.
It becomes a rag when you have a baby in it. Sorry. It becomes like a rag that you use when you're doing work on your car and you need to lay it out, over an area of the engine.
It's white.
Like I have a rag, like an old towel that I keep on my boat in case I'm doing a project where I have to take apart like a bunch of stuff. I want to just have all the parts there.
And
have them not,
roll around.
Roll around.
That's a part rag.
But it wasn't a splooge rag. It was like my kid's old beach towel that's very thin and easy. And so I use that for jobs.
Oh man.
Okay, good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah, no, 100% I'm taking baby towel over the other one. Both are, somehow something to do with bringing people into the world.
You're right. Both have something beautiful about them.
Both are involved in the process of making babies.
Making babies, yeah. Mm. One feels more beautiful than the other personally. But. Yeah,
one just feels filthy.
It's funny that you are not nostalgic about almost anything in life, but you kept that towel. I find that funny, but I feel like it has more to do with you being cheap. Yeah. Honestly, I was just going to say that. So that towel is in the lineup.
Well, the thing is, I also like the towel. Like, I don't like
it. Where is it?
It's at the cabin.
Is it in the closet?
It's in the rotation.
Oh, it is. So it is being used.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
But I don't think anyone else knows, why it has, some stains on it.
Okay, so the towel isn't in a memory box.
No.
It's just being used.
The towel. It's one of those thin towels.
So Bundus, if he stayed at your cabin, could get that towel?
I would make sure he didn't get that towel. I'm one of those people who lays out towels on guest beds. Okay. I'll lay out your own
but
soap.
But if he showed up early and you hadn't arrived yet and he's like, and you're just like, oh, grab a towel in the cupboard, he could grab that one.
He could. Yeah. It is in the rotation.
Still better than this blue drag.
Yeah.
Grab a towel. Oh. There's one under the sink, Bundus. It'll be fine.
But I got to say that I felt like we were talking about one thing, and then we just pivoted and completely talked about something different without really finishing what we were talking about in the first place. But I guess the moral of the story of that first story was just that people don't feel guilty when they cheat if they're on Ashley Madison, majority of those people.
Yeah, and I think people cheat at different times of their lives. And I think when you have young children and your body's just been ravaged
by a
child.
That's a tough time to cheat on someone though, man. Oh, that is
that's when it hurts the
low,
most.
That's low,
yeah.
And people hearing that be like, what, he cheated on you right after you had a baby?
She just had a baby.
Yeah, totally.
She kept the birth towel and everything.
Well, sometimes that happens with the podcast. It gets away from us.
Yeah.
How did we even get to talking about giving birth? Oh, yeah, because when you give birth, you don't
body,
feel sexual.
Yeah, you don't be sexy. Yeah, exactly. It all related, guys. All related.
Well, thanks for listening to the podcast. And as always, you can hear us on the radio, too. Weekday mornings from just after 5 till 10 on 102.1 The Edge in Toronto. And then abbreviated evening edition in Vancouver on the world-famous CFOX.
Not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.